Well, it's getting hot outside, isn't it? I am not a fan of hot weather. I grew up in Florida, and there is a reason I live in the mountains. It's hot, but when it does get hot, it's refreshing to have something cold to drink. Thus, you see, it's not by coincidence that the scriptures many times use the word thirst to indicate a bad situation, a horrible situation, where an individual is afflicted, a condition that has come upon someone whereby they feel separated from God. They don't have a sense of God's love, of God's nearness. They fear that they have come under the judgment of God. In Exodus chapter 17, when Israel was traveling through the desert, they had no water to drink. They were in an afflicted situation. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, when God is explaining the curse of the covenant to Israel, he says that if you disobey me and turn and serve other gods, then in hunger and thirst you will serve your enemies, and your thirst will never be quenched. Psalm 63, my soul thirsts for God. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Psalm 42, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night. And so we have this repeated over and over again in scriptures, that this metaphor that when someone is thirsty, they are in an afflicted situation. They feel like they are under the curse of God. Psalm 143, O Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. In your faithfulness and righteousness, come to my relief. Do not bring your servant into judgment, for no one living is righteous before you. The enemy pursues me. He crushes me to the ground. He makes me dwell in darkness like those long dead. So my spirit grows faint within me, my heart within me is dismayed, and so my soul thirsts for you, O Lord, like a parched land. So thus, according to the Bible, the idea of thirst communicates a painful, afflicted situation. Thus we find Jesus in his affliction, in his suffering, hanging on the cross. He cries out saying, I thirst, I am thirsty. He is experiencing the judgment of God upon him. Like a sponge absorbs all that it touches, Jesus in his body and his soul, he is absorbing the wrath of God for my sins, for your sins. When we think about the sufferings of Christ, I don't think we get the full picture as to what is actually happening. If you should live in hell 1,000 years, and every day you died a spiritual death, every day suffered for your sins, yet all that would be nothing compared to the suffering of Jesus Christ for you. He suffered an eternity of hell in his body, and he did it for you. Jesus had a body. Now, this is something you really need to understand. Jesus had a body and a soul. He was fully God, but he's also fully man. But in his human nature, he had never suffered. He had never been sick. He had never, as a child, he didn't catch the flu. Why is that? Because he's not made up of the seed of the man. He's made up of the seed of the woman and the Holy Spirit. It's through the seed of the man. The fall, Adam's sin, that sickness and death are introduced into our lives. But Jesus is not made up of the seed of the man. He is made up of the seed of the woman and of the Holy Spirit. Thus, he has never, his human flesh has never suffered until John the Baptist baptizes him and Jesus goes into the desert to represent his people in overcoming temptation. Because the scriptures say that after 40 days of fasting, he was hungry. He was hungry. So that was the first glimpse, the first taste of suffering that the human nature of Jesus experienced. But there was much more to come. You know, if you're not in shape, I'm not in shape, but if you go to the gym, you hadn't been in the gym for a long time and you work out with weights, guess what's going to happen the next day? You're going to be sore. You're going to be sore because your body for a long time now has not been exposed to that activity. You're not used to it. It's a new experience for you. Now, Jesus had never been sick a day in his life. His body was not used to pain. It is true that he is a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, but up to the point of his baptism and fasting, and then up to the point of his arrest and crucifixion, he had not suffered in his body. His body was miraculously formed on purpose by the Holy Spirit to be without sin and thus not susceptible to viruses and bacteria that cause a sickness. So Jesus had never suffered in his body until the arrest and crucifixion. Scriptures are plain that when Jesus was rejected in Nazareth, the crowds picked up stones to stone him. But they didn't do it. And he walked through the crowd. And you know what the excuse was given, the reason that they did not stone him at that point? The scripture says that the Holy Spirit didn't let it happen because it was not the time for the Christ to suffer. It was coming later, but at that particular time, it was not the time for the Christ to suffer. Thus, never having suffered in his body, the suffering then that he undergoes puts his body in shock. There is nothing that could have ever prepared the human nature of Jesus for what he was about to experience. You know, new experiences can be painful for us. You change jobs. Nobody likes that first day. You go into work, new job, you don't know anybody, you don't know really what you're supposed to be doing. It's really uncomfortable. Nobody likes that first day. Well, Jesus was about to have a new experience. The suffering in his body was a new experience for Jesus, and it was more painful than what we can even imagine. Because he goes from no suffering to some suffering to the greatest suffering that any human body could ever experience. His head was wounded with thorns. His back was bloody from the whippings. His hands and feet were pierced through with nails. His side was gashed open by a sword. His whole body was being stretched and extended beyond its natural capacity to the point that for him to even breathe, he had to push up like this in order to get a breath. You know, sometimes if your back hurts, you can maybe find a position laying on your left or right side. You can find a position that's comfortable for you, that you can manage with that. But Christ had not even for one moment, was he free of pain. And that was just in his body. His soul was also feeling the wrath of God. When he says he thirsts, he's quoting from the Psalms so that he's not only physically thirsty, but his soul is thirsty for the presence of God, for the comfort of God. Paul, writing to the Romans, says, "For God spared not his son, but gave him up for us all." This means that God did not spare Christ the slightest punishment, but put the full weight of God's wrath and justice upon Jesus Christ. I've got a cup up here with a little bit of water in it. Now, I have drank the water in the cup, and so I could say, well, the cup is empty. But in reality, there's a drop or two still left in the cup. Jesus suffered the full weight of God's wrath. And if there had been just one drop of God's wrath that Jesus did not suffer, then we would have to suffer that. The cup of God's wrath was so completely consumed by Christ that not one small drop of God's judgment was left for us to experience. If Christ had been spared any suffering, then we would not have been spared any suffering. In all the discipline and afflictions, God disciplines us for our good. But you need to understand that when God disciplines you, he disciplines you because he accepts you as a child. He accepts you as a son or a daughter. And so there is not the least hint of wrath within God's dealing with you. Might feel like that, but it ain't there. Why? Because Jesus drank the full wrath of God. Discipline, yes. Wrath, no. Because Christ bore it all in his body and in his soul. This drinking of the cup of God's wrath is indicated by the words of Jesus when he says, "I thirst." Seriously consider what Jesus Christ underwent for you. What did he do for you? He suffered the wrath of God, the full measure of judgment, so that you would not have to suffer at all. He did this in order to bring you into communion with the Father. It is the Father's desire to be your God and for you to be his people. But the desire of the Father can only be accomplished if his wrath has been extinguished. And so as one would pour water upon a blazing fire and extinguish it, Christ poured out his blood upon the wrath of God, and it was extinguished for you. Jesus says, "I thirst." Let us also thirst for that communion with God. Let us be in his word. Let us be in prayer. Let us be in the fellowship of the saints. As Christ thirsts in order to bring you to the Father, let us thirst for that communion with the Father. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father,